welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Okay, let's do a song, okay? What is love? No more. Okay. It's for the topic, okay? Can we do another one? Okay. I want to know what love is. Okay, awesome. Give yourself a clap. Okay, so when the Arrows has done their song, we can do. Oh, tonight we're saying to God, okay? I want to know what love is. Let's hear from God. Okay? Let's get his opinion. I'm going to leave out a lot in my sermon. I'm going to fly past it. But let me just say, there's many ways and many sources of information that is very willing to educate us on love, sex, and trust and marriage. Amen? You agree with me? Now, just say to the person next to you, sex is nie 'n vloekwoord nie. Now, just get comfortable with the word. Because it is my theme for tonight. We're going to talk about sex. And just quickly, this is not like my message. Philip didn't get me in because I'm the sex guy. No. Okay. We're just doing it this week, all right? And we're talking about it. You know why? Let me just tell you a real story. Just to give you a very quick idea why this is very important. About a year ago, there's a couple that came to our church, and I sat with him. He was involved, the guy in drugs, and he came to God. She was in an accident. But he's got a tendency of coming and going in terms of Jesus. And as I sat with him, they lived together. They were not married, and they were in a sexual relationship. I said, do you want your marriage to be blessed? It's not too late. Let's give it to Jesus. Okay? Jesus can make anything new. Amen? Can we agree on that? And you know what she said to me? And she spoke out of the honesty of her heart, and he was right there. He said, Werner, if I don't sleep with him, he will sleep with other girls. And my heart just broke. She spoke the truth out of her heart. That's where the world's at. Somewhere through the system, she has been educated that at all cost, I must keep this man, even if it messes up our future together. All right? We need to talk about this in church. Amen? Because where are we going to hear about this? Who are we going to allow us to educate us? All right? Can we pray? Let's do that. Lord, we just want to give this evening to you. And as we sang tonight, Lord, you are risen. Forever you are glorified. Tonight is not about love, sex, and trust. It's about Jesus. It's about worshiping Jesus and getting every single area of our lives to flourish and to reflect towards Jesus. And so tonight, Lord, as we take this tiny bit of our lives, Lord, that can affect us so greatly. We say, Lord, help us to do this in such a way so that Jesus can receive glory and souls can be saved. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's get going. Are you ready? Let's do this. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. I just want to say, before we get into the love stuff, that God has a vision for your life. It's got this skill, it's hard to say because he doesn't have skills. I mean, he's everything we can think or imagine. But what he does so great is he looks at us while we are still sinners and he sees what we can be. And then he loves us and he saves us. That's what he does. And let me just say this from the start. Amongst other things, he wants you to have a great marriage. Can I just say, who is single in this place? Not married, that's single. Okay, now keep your hands up. Who? Yeah, well, keep your hand up, guys. Just look around. No, don't let it go down. Okay. All right? Goed, my name is just... Now, who wants to get married at some stage of their life? Okay, I'm just looking if I'm talking to the right crowd here. For you, let me swing this around. Okay, you can lower the hands. There's some ladies at the back. Like, okay. we can do this at the end, maybe properly. Okay. I don't want to take another take on this. I'm in any case away from my notes. When I was worshiping here, for a moment, it felt to me that like I was back in Stellenbosch. Worshiping you guys. You look like a geest, right? And I was ready to take my seat so that I can take notes of the sermon. Because you know how quickly it happens from you start to serve God and the next thing you send to preach. It happens like this. Who of you desire to work full-time for God? Can I get an indication? There's a few, okay? Let me tell you what. It happens quickly. Now, you cannot minister. It is impossible to minister solidly, faithfully, when you've got a marriage at home that's not working. Okay? That's why we are doing what we're doing. Not because we are worshiping or serving marriage as an institution. This thing needs to work so that we can overflow and souls can be saved. In the meanwhile, it's great, marriage and sex and intimacy, all right? But it serves the purposes of Jesus. One more thing. Everyone will not get married. Sorry. Okay. That's a bad start, but it is the truth. I'm not saying anyone in this place who desires to get married will not get married. I'm just saying not everyone gets married. Okay? Is that a fair comment? That's, yes? Oh, man, if I may need it again, eh? Okay. Let me just tell you what. If you don't get married, 100%, serve God. If you get married, this thing must work so that you can serve God. Amen? Right, let's do it. And also just not just marriage, but sex, okay? That word. It is not everything in the marriage. But let me tell you what, it can cause great problems. All right? It's one of those things, if everything goes well, you don't realize how important it is until there's problems there. And so let's talk about it. All right? I don't care if you're married, single, or never want to get married. Tonight you can learn. All right? Interpolate for yourselves where you're at. I'm going to use the word marriage a lot. If you're single, it's for you. Okay? And if you're married, it's for you also. All right? Is that okay? Now, let me just start again. I'm sorry if I have to put you through this again. If you were an usher or a poor band leader, just member, just bear with me, please. I have a terrible story to tell about myself. And I'll do it. Just to kick off the topic. When I was 12 years old, we went on a camp. Standard 5. And my friend and I, we decided, hierdie kamp gaan ons vry. Okay, first time ever, okay? But the problem is the level of progression in the relationship that we had, because we each had a girlfriend. We were only like pen pals, all right? So you're like, thank you for the chocolate, spelling mistake, plakkaartjie, okay? That's. But now we said it's time for an upgrade. From glory to glory, let's do this. Okay? All right? So now we're on the bus, and now I'm sending a messenger to my girlfriend, and he's doing the same. Will you be interested if we, you know, go behind the building and you sit a biggie tong by? So the message came back to me, I'm not interested, okay? That's basically what my girlfriend said. But now in the conversation on the bus, you know, everyone hears, there was another girl that says, okay, she'll She will stand in. True story. So the man of integrity and vision that I am, you know, especially, you know, being honest, quickly, I made a transition in girlfriends on the bus. So I did the one, I gave her the great respect of saying, okay, all cases off, okay? That's the bread. And so the other one, okay, long story, fast forward, okay, we're behind the building. Awkward, first time ever, okay. So my friend, he is just fucking weg next to me. I'm like, wow. It's lippity lipper, okay? And so I go in for the kill first time. Feels a bit weird. We go back to our room, extra sexy. Jam funny battle. Woo! I've got this thing figured out. Next morning in the breakfast canteen, this girl, there's this thing going. You know, stories, there's nothing like a story that stays where it's supposed to stay in primary school or school. So the message comes up. It's more like a declaration this girl is making. She's saying, this is the declaration. Ek gaan nooit weer vry nie. That's what she said after kissing me. So how must I feel, okay? So I didn't have a good start, but praise the Lord, he works with me, and today I'm happily married. And I'm a dad of a boy about that tall. All right, he's awesome. Let's read together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first time, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. That's us. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Look at his care for his bride, the church. Death shall be no more. I will protect her. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Let me just say this. This is how God feels about his bride. That's us. Wiping away our tears. Walking with a towel to wash us, our feet. Anoint our head. So kind to us. And I just want to say from the start, if we can get this, we will do well. We need to look at Jesus' love for the church to understand marriage. If we cannot do this, we will fail. And that's why worldly marriages fail. All right? Why is that so important? I want to tell you that Jesus associates so closely and so intimately with us, all right, that he calls us his bride. And so in the same way, if you desire to be married, or if you are married, oh, is there some marriage in the house tonight? Oh, quite a few. Let me just tell you this. Jesus Christ is so invested in your marriage or in your marriage to be. He understands it. And this is why it's so important. If you are a man that loves Jesus Christ, and I'm doing an ad here, ladies. This is why you want to marry a godly man. This is more or less what will happen a few times a week. You will spend time with Jesus, right? Read his word, pray to God through the Holy Spirit. And more than once in 1 week, you will probably sound something like this. Lord, why did you save me? How did it come to pass that you saved me? I am such a sinful person. How can you love me? And that's worship, right? And God's like, I love you undeservingly. I gave you grace so that you can come to me. I wash you. I love you. I delight in you. But I didn't do anything exactly. It's grace. And as he gets it there, in the morning or in that time when he spends time with God, at the same time, the Holy Spirit is doing something in his heart. Even if he doesn't understand it, and the Holy Spirit is saying, go do the same to your wife. Go love her undeservingly so. Even when you feel that she is not deserving of your love in a specific moment, just love her. A godly man can do that. If you don't know Jesus, this is not possible, what I just explained. You can only make exchanges in a marriage where Jesus is not in the middle. If you do well, I will do well. If you step up a bit, I will step up. Right? A godly marriage is turned upside down. I don't care what you do. I want to love you. I just want to be like my Savior. And as the man loves you, he inspires you to be a better wife. And as you love him graciously back, because he will make mistakes, so he is inspired even more. And this thing just goes, it's like a snowball. Does this make sense? This is the most important thing of tonight. Remember this and you will do well. Even as a single man, if you're not married, right now, think about yourself and God as someone for you. How would Jesus want you to prepare for that person? Pray and ask him. Pray for that person. Pray for yourself to be protected. Purify yourself. Prepare yourself for your bride. Amen? Marriage reflects the relationship between Jesus and the church. If we look at Jesus, we will do great. And if we understand this, what I just described, we can move on. We can talk about sex. Now, if you've done Encounter One, you've seen that picture with the three circles. You are a spirit, right? You have a body, and you have a soul, right? What is the most important part in that sketch? It's your spirit. It's the only thing that's eternal, all right? Your body gets hurt, your body gets old, the thing will die. Done. True story. Okay, I can ask my grandma when we're in heaven. All right? No, she will also laugh at us now because, I mean, she's in heaven. I mean, but the thing is, we are just passing through. The one part of us that can be alive to God now and alive for eternity is our spirits. All right? Now, God made man and woman in his image, and he gives each of us a spirit. He puts us together in marriage, and there's this thing that happens, intimacy, sex. Let me tell you what, straight out. Wonderful, fulfilling, amazing sex can only happen when two people do it, which spirits are alive to God. And when they come together, there's this blessing on it. You can't describe it. It is supernatural. God blesses us mostly through our spirits. Guess why the world sucks at explaining sex? They just change the partners. Because the blooming thing won't work. It won't work. It can only work as God put the playing field out within a committed covenant marriage. Both spirits alive to Christ. Now there's fireworks. True story. Ask married people. And so the world asks the question, how can we be sexually fulfilled? They ask us in movies, they ask it in the series, they ask it in magazines. Men's health. You just have to look at the cover. They've got answers every week. We'll never get them. Because it's not something we can conjure up. It's only something we can step into obedience. Does that make sense? Very important as we go forward tonight that we understand this. Now, as God put two people together, he says, I want to bless you. Now, this thing that you're going to enjoy, it is only for the two of you. There is no third party allowed in that bed. There's 100% exclusivity, 100% trust. And then God says, go for it, enjoy it. I want to bless this thing. I want to show you how the enemy does the opposite. If he can take trust and exclusivity out of the marriage bed, it's tickets. Okay? When I say no third parties and I say the word exclusivity, don't think only of another person, which means there's adultery or something. Think of the third person as a computer. Think of a third person as a magazine that should not be in your marriage bed or as a DVD. All right? As believers, okay, sex is an intimate thing given for man and husband so they can be naked and unashamed. Okay? It's wonderful. If you're single and you've been struggling with lust for a while, it's like this fight. It's just this thing that's biting your ankle. It is amazing to get married and experience the freedom, all right, of being able to have sex with someone and there's no condemnation, no shame. In fact, you can feel God being pleased. That is amazing. But there's no place in my marriage bed or in anyone's marriage bed for a DVD with sex on. And I'll tell you why. You are not supposed to see any man or any woman being intimate with another party and you look at it. It's not meant for our eyes. What it does is it comes into our spirit, which is so pure and blessed by God, and we bring something into the marriage bed. Trust is broken. Does it make sense? Say yeah, amen? All right. Same with exclusivity. They link together. And it's interesting, the more we try and bring those kind of things into our marriage bed, we think, oh, this is going to add to the satisfaction, to the joy, and we get that frustration, shame, we feel dirty. The marriage bed becomes a place where there's a bit of friction. So what the enemy is saying is, he's saying, get what you need and get it quickly. Okay? Instead of doing it God's way. And what happens is we start to become trust breakers. I said this in the previous service as well. You that has been keeping yourself pure, let's talk to the ladies, looking forward to your marriage night, being a bit scared, that's normal. Okay? You should be very scared if you can't trust a man. All right? But you should have no fear if you know he loves Jesus. If you have seen him handling his faith, you've seen him handling you, how he loves you, how he actually builds trust into your marriage bed before you marry it, by the way he treats you. You don't need any fear. Amen, married people? If you can trust a man, and God is so smart. He's so smart. He gives you this time when you're not married. That's how smart he is. Because that's where you're going to see if you can trust a man. You can trust him by respecting that boundaries. And the other way around. Marry the man. Amen? Sex is an amazing gift for married couples. Or sex can be a very thing that breaks life into pieces. That is the truth. I want to show you a story out of the Bible that reflects a lot of what happens in society. You'll be shocked and then you'll realize it's true. There's a man in the Old Testament, his name is Amnon. Who knows him? It's David's son. What did you say? He's got a problem. He loves his half-sister. Okay? And the Bible explains that he is sick with love for his sister Tamar. Not the Tamar that was in the previous service. There's someone in the church with the name Tamar. There's someone else. It's another Tamar, all right? Yeah, she came to me and said, my name is Tamar. It's got nothing to do with this. Any case. So he's very sneaky and he tells his father, send my sister with food because when she's fed me, I will feel better. I'm sick. Look at me. Ugh, I'm sick. So he sets her up. He ambushes her in the room. He grabs her. She says, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Let's go. Let's go to our father. Let's go to the king. Let's get married. Let's do this right. But he won't listen. You see, because lust is at work. He needs it now. No trust. Takes her, he basically rapes her, has sex with her. Very next verse. Not after 10 years when love grows cold, the very next verse. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred. Isn't that unfair? Very unfair. So the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get up and go. These events took place quickly. But I want to tell you essentially, it is exactly what happens in society. Exactly. You want to destroy your relationship? Get engaged and move in. That's a good way to break up with someone. Now or later, it will happen. In my life, I went out with my wife when we were in school. We were not saved, and we overstepped sexual boundaries. You know the first thing what happened? When I got saved, I wanted to get away. Looking back, I understood it as I studied the scripture. I wanted to get away. It was easy for me to break up with her. She was bonded to me in deep ways. I wanted to get away. Because when I looked at our relationship, I saw my past. Even as being saved, just, I must go. I must run from this. After making promise, sweet talks, this is what happens. Praise the Lord, He healed both of us in different places. And 4 years later, we came together and got married 2 years after that. Amen. Yay. Very important. Very important. Sweet to me, young woman of Jerusalem, that you won't awaken or arouse love before its proper time. This was a key scripture for me as a young student in Stellenbosch, giving my future to God, my sexuality, my marriage, which was to be, was this. Let me just tell you in straight words what this means. There is a love tap in your life. Call it the passion tap, all right? If that thing gets turned on, all right, there's troubles, all right? You can turn that thing. You can open it and you can close it. You don't fall into love or nothing. You determine what happens, whether you get sexually stimulated or not. It's not someone else's fault, ever. Don't awaken love before it's time. What it meant for me is if I wanted to have a blessed marriage where the marriage bed is fulfilling, fun, awesome, I needed to get that thing closed while I was single so that I can purify my heart for my wife. Does that make sense? It's very important. Even in Stellenbosch back then, we were there, some of the guys that's in the crowd here as well. We trained our hearts. I mean, first day of summer, all right, trouble on campus, trouble, booby traps all over the place. All right. You see trouble coming 100 meters away. You see there's something going on. You take another route. All right. Close the tap. Go back to the room. If the enemy came, because he comes every day, right? Shoots his arrows. Like, go to my buddy. One of them is sitting there, Warwick. Go to him. Listen, I need to come clean. Today, the arrows came from everywhere. Pray for me right now. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my eyes. I give you my thoughts. I just close that tap right now. I say, Lord, you have a marriage for me. And I'm looking forward to that. Clean me right now. That becomes a discipline. Every time the enemy would tempt me, I would pray for a friend that's unsaved. I'd say, Lord, right now I take my energy and I point it to missions. Right now I take my energy and I point it to purity. Prepare me for my marriage. I'm not sidestepping marriage and relationship. I'm engaging it because I've got a wife. I just don't know who she is yet. So I engage it right now by closing this tap and being pure. And a good friend, if you're a guy, a good guy friend will help you with that. Same with girls. Good friends will support you in that. Right? Don't awaken love before it's time. But listen, when it's time to awaken, open up, open up, open up, okay? Okay. Dude. Now the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're just brainstorming through this sermon. I don't want to keep you too long. But I come, they may have life and have it more abundantly. You know what the main difference between lust and love is? Just the main thing. There's more than one thing, but the main thing is lust wants it now, no matter what. Okay? Lust can be dressed up as love. Don't be stupid. You know I love you. Okay? Some of you got that. Any case. What you hear, this is how lust speaks. Okay, I don't know you guys. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how many new people, old people, whatever. But this is how lust sounds. Lust is a justifier of everything. Okay. No, we can have sex because we're not sleeping around. It's only the two of us. We're committed to one another. We, as long as we don't sleep around and cheat on one another, we can do it. Lust talks very well. Beware. As long as we don't do what they do, all right, lust always finds a way. Always finds a way to justify. All right? This is one you hear a lot, and it is a good question. So if you ever want to, listen, there's no bad question when it comes to these things. Ask someone. People will say, isn't it better to masturbate than to sleep around? Fair question, though. Fair question. People will ask it, but I can't. I've got this need. No, it's not better. You know why? You're getting married to someone that's expecting a beautiful, undefiled marriage bed. You're bringing something into that bed, which is your sexual experiences on your own. It's got nothing to do with your partner. All right? Let me go on by saying this. Men and women are different. Different. Okay? Bio. If you are married, all right, and your wife looks at you a certain way, it's over. It's a switch. All right. That's how men the crowns whoop. Okay. All right. Woman works differently. Okay. She wants to experience love, whole year, whole month, the whole week. That tap goes like that. But the problem is, it goes fast, quickly. Then it's closed again. All right. Goes back. Now. If, true story, singles. True story. Took us 5 years to have a little boy. Nah, don't buy that. Listen, but it is true. Now, listen carefully, and I'm going to say it straight. I think it works both ways. I still haven't figured out the ladies. So I tend to speak more to the guys. Ladies, think for yourself. Help me maybe one day. If as a man, I'll say it straight, you look to masturbation, okay, for a way to get satisfaction, all right? And I promise you it won't stop with marriage. Listen to what I'm saying. You bring it in. If you do it before marriage, you can do it in marriage. You lose the ability to arouse your wife because she takes time and you used to, when you want it, you take it. All right? So you don't love it. And what happens is that's where that thing happens where we say, oh, men tend to always want to have sex. And women, it's not true. Woman loves it, but she wants to feel loved. But now I'm trained to take what I want when I want it. And I don't want to love my wife the whole day. Can you see what I'm saying? And so the internet and movies, they help us to destroy our marriage beds. It should be a life. It should be a life of love coming together at a special time when you're together in the evening. Not a zibay party, a bar, a chicky hot ones. It doesn't work like that. All right? And I'm also going to say this. Sex in the marriage, as trust and that exclusivity and intimacy with Jesus grows, it gets better and better and better and better. I promise you. Everyone says that that's marriage. It's not something they just say. I'm telling you, I've been married 5 years. As trust grows and love grows, remember, spirit, soul, and body. As that spirit grows together, the anointing in the marriage bed, if I can say it that way, it grows as well. Make sense? You're an awesome bunch of people together. I've got some stuff that's for senior, for older people. So I'm just quickly toning it down. Is that okay? No, I'm lying. I want to say it the other way around. If as a man and a woman, and I want to encourage you with this, if you get this right when you're single, if you can focus on Jesus, if you can give that energy you have, that desire you have to be intimate with someone, that plain sexual desire, it's also a hormonal thing. Sometimes you can't help it, all right? If you can give that to God, and you have victory. Ladies, if that's how your boyfriend is, if he's committed to God in that way, you will never be worried that he will come home and tell you there's another woman. If he can do it when he's single and respect your boundaries, he'll take it all the way through. Guarantee you that. The opposite is true for you. If you can have your emotions, give it to God, and marriage, any challenge can come, you'll do it there. Being single is the best training grounds for being married. Every battle you have in marriage, you have there as well. So you can train. You can work on your marriage, even when you're still single. Now you can skip a few slides to slide number 15. Let's finish off. I want to say this. Please don't feel condemned. You can go on to James. Please don't feel condemned about this. Tell yourself, I want to grow at any opportunity. Next year, there'll be relationship week again, and the year after that, again. Pray every time when there's an invitation. Grow at don't have a mindset of, okay, I'm okay there, I'd rather not go. Always attack that area. Go for prayer. Become clean. That's how I grew out of it. If there was half a doubt, I was in front. Pray for me. Go to my friend. I want to repent of this. I don't know if I sinned, but the thought came and I did this. Pray for me. All right? Set the bar high for yourself. I'm going to reap the fruit. Really. I want to just say also to the married, the man is not perfect. And that's okay. He will hurt you. And the same for the other side. But I love this quote. Married couples, they don't fall out of love, they fall out of repentance. Okay? If you, as a couple, or if you're single, you can exercise this. If you've got friends that you spend a lot of time with, practice. If you do something that you thought may hurt them, go ask forgiveness. If someone asks forgiveness, extend it. Pray with them. If you can do that in marriage, you'll do well. You can train it while you're single. If we're married, let's pray about our marriage bed. Let's pray before we have intimate times. Let's give it to God. Let's stop a while and ask Him, is there stuff in our house that is affecting this marriage bed? Let's get it out. Amen? I think we'll stop there. You guys can stand up. Let's pray together. I want to end with this because I want to give you hope. There's not a lot of sermons that can bring so much condemnation, all right? Like this kind of topic. Am I speaking the truth? We're very hard on ourselves. And what I also do is I paint a perfect picture up here. Listen to me. I messed up with the same woman I married when we were in school. Every opportunity I had, I prayed. I said, Lord, clean my heart, clean my heart, clean my heart. Second year, third year, I just sensed God has totally healed me. When we came together again, which would be like the equivalent of the end of your fourth year, okay? We came together again the first time after school. And we decided not to kiss, all right? Because I didn't want to open the tap, all right? Now, kissy, kissy, mulligate, all right? But we've learned. It took us 4 years. We got married. My wife came down the aisle. I was crying like this. I was standing like this. I was actually ashamed. I'm like, I wish that photos must just disappear from the camera. And I said it to the previous guys as well. I'm not lying to you. This is the truth. I had no clue what was going on underneath that wedding dress. God had completely healed me. I went on honeymoon and it was completely fresh. My heart was completely healed. God did that miracle. So I just want to say, Jesus is kind when it comes to these things. Don't feel intimidated where you're at and therefore push away. Run towards. He can heal you. Today I'm married after messing up. My marriage is working. It's growing. It's flourishing. It is awesome at home because Jesus is there. This is not about marriage and sex. This is about Jesus. Remember that. It's about our testimony. It's about the world looking at our marriages and saying, how is this possible, Jesus? How did you survive that incident? Jesus forgave me. So it's easy to relay that in our marriage. Make sense? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are awesome in this place. You are the kindest person there is. And right now, Lord Jesus, I just want to turn every eye and every heart to you, Lord. The Savior of the world. The Savior of hearts. And I want to make the most important invitation of the night. If you've been here tonight and you've heard a few things about relationship and marriage and sex as I spoke, but in your heart there came a need to actually meet with Jesus, then I want to tell you tonight Jesus Christ wants to be kind to you. He's got his hand out. He wants to help you find a new way, the way, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're saying, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. I don't know you, but let me tell you what. Jesus saves no matter what. His grace is undeservingly. And he's calling each one of us. Because he wants to give us something we don't deserve. Forgiveness, relationship, and a future. So I want to ask, while every eye is closed, if you want to meet this Jesus that changes lives, all right, I want you to think about it. If you want to meet him, but it's a decision you have to make, all right? I don't want to psych you up for it. If you want to make that decision, you want to follow it, and you want to endure to the end, because he's calling you now, I want you to put up your hand very high. There's a hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Keep those hands up. Very high. Keep them up. There's a lot of hands going up. Keep your hands up. I want to ask one more time. Maybe there's some of us that feel, no, I can't do this because I've done it in the past. You can do it again. All right? Maybe you feel, yo, but that's not how I was taught in my home, but this is the truth. Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to save you. Call you to a new future. That is the truth. If there's anyone else that wants to say yes to Jesus, I want you to put your hand up very high. Not halfway, very high. Thanks for those hands. And now I'm going to ask you to be very brave. Very, very brave. And I want you to come out to the aisle, to the middle. Right? Let's give these guys a clap. Let's come to the middle. Awesome. And then I want you to come to the front. Awesome, awesome. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.